Blog Talk Radio.
Reach the eye.
CD.
All right. Hi, you're on Cheesehead Nation.
Hey, Jersey Al here.
Oh, Jersey
Al!
I bet that's Al. Who is it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hey, you're on Cheesehead Nation. Who is it?
It isn't the Glenn Beck show.
Oh, oh man.
Glenn.
I'm hanging out. Cheesehead Radio. Bup to the bang and shamalama ding dong, Packer Nation. Welcome to Cheesehead Radio. I'm telling you right now, there is a tornado outside my window. I'm absolutely not lying. The sirens went off, but I am going to stay and talk because I want to talk packizzle for shizzle, people. You see what I did here? Anyway, this is our August 12th broadcast. The preseason begins. We got something tonight, whether you're young and old, green or gold. We're going to talk about family night. We're going to talk about Brian Bulaga at guard. Can Quint Johnson make this football team, people? Matt Flynn, come on. And is A.J. Hawk actually good? I don't know, but from Bustin Justin to Shush in the Bush, we'll have it all as usual tonight, including our infamous free-for-all, where you, the viewer, get to call in and yell, scream, or just plain talk some Packers football. Joining me tonight, as always, are Packer pundits, C.D. Angeli from Tundra Vision, Jersey Al from Jersey Al Packers Blog, Holly Phelps from The Other 31 and BrentFarve.com, and, of course, myself, Alex Tolich from the Packers Lounge, at Cheesehead TV. That being said, we got a huge show for you tonight, so I'm going to turn it over to the talented, the witty, and most of all the handsome, C.D. Angeli. What's going on, C.D.?
Not too much, Alex. Good to be here tonight. Very, very excited for Saturday. Our first actual real preseason game, Cleveland Browns. I'm psyched. How about you guys?
Woo! Oh, definitely. Ready to go. We're ready.
Yeah, it's about time. It's been a long off season, and let's get right to it. How about we get right to our Packer news?
Thank you, CD. Packers coach Mike McCarthy was pretty vocal this week in giving out both praise and criticism. He talked up A.J. Hawk for his scrimmage performance, and for having an excellent camp in general. At the same time, he was unusually candid about Jarius Wynn, saying Wynn has just been okay and needs to step it up. Not surprisingly, Wynn was seen winning a lot of his one-on-one matchups during the next practice. And thanks to Greg Bedard, you can watch it all after this show on JS Online, including Wynn's pancake of Chris Campbell.
I guess he got the message. Well, and speaking of motivational factors, Donald Driver has a lot more to play for these days, as in another 2 years on his contract. The Packers extended Driver's deal through the 2012 season, prompting Driver to say that he wants to prove the Packers right and then retire as a Green Bay Packer.
Well, that'll certainly be a bittersweet day when Donald hangs up his cleats. But what won't be bittersweet is when the Packers line up this Saturday for their first preseason game against the Cleveland Browns. Having rolled over the Browns in the first preseason game last year, the Packers will be hoping for more of the same. Now, with most first-team players getting about a quarter of work at most, the spotlight for this game figures to be on special teams play. Has all the extra work they've put in had the desired effect? We'll get a real first look on Saturday.
I'm really looking forward to that, Al. And here's something else to look forward to. This Saturday's game will be the 61st annual Packers Midwest Shrine Game. As they do every year, the Packers will contribute a significant portion of the night's gate to the Shriners Hospitals for Children. The Shriners Hospitals provide free medical care to needy kids with birth defects or who are suffering from serious injuries. It's a great cause and a great thing that the Packers organization does.
Yeah, that's just one of the many things that makes you proud to be a Packers fan. And another thing to be happy about is the commitment from most Packer players to the excellent off-season program that Mike McCarthy runs. Most importantly, the young players have taken full advantage of every moment of coaching and workout time that's available to them. You know, from what I've seen so far, it seems that this year's group of rookies are further along in understanding the system than last year's rookies were. It's no coincidence their dedication to the program has paid off.
Well, and that hard work can also earn playing time. Hard work is no stranger to Packers tight end Tom Crabtree. The relatively unknown tight end has been drawing rave reviews from Packers coaches and teammates. He's built a quick reputation as a tenacious blocker, which is something that none of the other Packers tight ends can lay claim to. Tight end coach Bob McAdoo joked, he loves to block where he was born. The playgrounds must have had blocking sleds instead of swing sets. And then Clay Matthews chimed in, the guy's a little musclehead. He's from some town in Ohio in which I'm sure they lift trucks and logs. So it looks like Crabtree is going to make the Packers' decisions at tight end a difficult one.
Indeed, Holly. And now, Cheesehead Radio brings you news from the Packers' Twitterverse.
This week in the Packers' Twitterverse.
Greg Bedard of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel put out this tweet while discussing his colleague Bob McGinn's article on Packers' backup quarterback, Matt Flynn. A scout once said to me about Matt Flynn, I'm not so sure that in 2 or 3 years he won't be every bit as good as Tony Romo. The ever-humble Bedard followed up his own tweet with this. Let's just say I disagree with that line of thinking on Flynn, but then again, what team do I scout for?
Oh, Bedard does well with those one-liners, doesn't he? Man. All right, for a guy who is swamped daily with USC taunts, Clay Matthews showed a good sense of humor on Twitter this last week. One tweeter asked Matthews how much of a pay cut he had to take going from USC to Green Bay, and Matthews came back really quick. He said, I'm making roughly the same.
Speaking of Packers linebackers with long blonde hair, A.J. Hawk had a very active game during the Packers family night scrimmage. After Hawk uncharacteristically had made a series of nice plays and tackles for losses, Greg Bedard remarked, where is A.J. Hawk, and what have you done with him? Yes, folks, that was the tweet of the week.
Tweet of the week.
All right, Alan, Holly, thank you very much. Great job on the news. The time has come for the Cheesehead Radio Rant of the Week, and for that I will turn it over to our own Alex Talish. Go ahead, Alex.
Time to rant. By the way, we had no rant planned this week, so the first thing I'm going to do is rant at myself for not introducing Wally Pingle from Pocket Doppler. Total ball droppage there. Our guest tonight on this show, bad knee, Wally Pingle from PocketDoppler.com. You're definitely going to stay around and listen to what Wally has to say. That's my first rant. Second rant, and I was thinking about this during the news. I got to go back to it. I'm going to rant about homers, people. Now, for those of you that don't know what a homer is, it's that person on the internet, or that person that in person only has good things to say about a Packers player, and no matter what they have to do, everything is praise and glory. Now, that's all right if you want to be pro-Packer, and I'm all right with that, but let me tell you this. Those Packer players do not care what you have to say. There is no reason for you to spend weeks on weeks, days upon days, tweeting Packer players, messaging Packers players, saying, hope you have a great year, I think you're wonderful, blah, 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 because quite simply, guys, these people do not care. Mick Barnett, Aaron Rodgers, none of those guys could give two rats behinds what you have to say, and I'm getting sick of it. tell them they're doing a good job once in a while, but don't be afraid to speak your opinion, and by God, give these guys a rest. You sitting in your chair all day eating moon pies, they don't care. That's going to be my rant of the week. I tried. CD?
That was pretty awesome. Excellent stuff, guys. Very, very good.
Good one, Alex. Good one.
And it's good to see you were semi-scripted for that. That was very good. The time has come for one of our favorite parts of the show, the extra points of contention.
All right. Well, it is my turn to narrate it this week. As you know, during this segment, we will say three kind of controversial statements about the Packers and let our panelists take one firm side or the other. And they'll either call it a touchdown, meaning they agree with it, or call it an interception and disagree. And then the third guy's got to break the tie. Are we ready to go?
I'm
ready.
All right, here we go. Extra point number one. Playing Brian Bulaga at left guard is the best situation for the Packers' offensive line this year. Who says yay?
Well, I'll jump in with the touchdown on this one, Holly. This is a John Kuhn one-yard dive touchdown for me. Nothing complicated here. If Bulaga shows he's a better left guard than College, Spitz, or Lang, then he must get on that field and play. If this were a rebuilding year, that would be a different story. But with the Packers planning to make a Super Bowl run, it has to be all hands on deck. I've got one stipulation, though. If Bulaga's the starting guard, then I'd prefer someone else be the backup left tackle, perhaps T.J. Lang. Nobody wants to see the infamous McCarthy shuffle on the offensive line if Chad Clifton gets hurt. If Bulaga wins a left guard job, keep him there for this year. Next year, let him go after Clifton's job.
Well, Al, I'm going to take an interception on this with you, and you bring up the exact reason why it's not going to work, because McCarthy is not going to change his strategy. He has been going at this with the interchangeable linemen for quite a while. Last year, when Clifton got hurt, I think that was late September, we ended up shuffling three linemen around to compensate for that. And it was miserable. It was terrible. College moved out to tackle. We're putting people in. A line needs continuity. Now, Bulaga is a special talent. I have no doubt that he can play guard or tackle. And there is a lot of credit to be said for putting the best five guys out there. But if we're going to be in a situation where Clifton or Tauscher, and you bless both their hearts, they're 33 and 34 years old, they were both hurt a significant part of last year. If they're going to get hurt, I want our best tackle in there to replace them because that's the most important part on the line. I'd rather see Bulaga backing up both tackle positions instead of playing at guard.
Wow, well, I'm going to take – I got the tiebreaker on this one, and CD, you talked me out of it, but I'm going to take the touchdown. But I'm not going to take Al's touchdown of John Kuhn from the one because we all know that John Kuhn can't get in from the one. You have to think of some other kind of touchdown, Al. But hey, the best situation for the Packers is Aaron Rodgers not getting sacked. And if Brian Bulaga offers the best realistic approach of that not happening, then I'm all for it. You know, CD brought up an argument that I really hate. Tauscher was not hurt a lot of last season. He was hurt from the season before. He came in, he contributed, and he was healthy, and he's healthy now. If Brian Bulaga is one of the best five guys to protect Aaron Rodgers, and there's no reason that he shouldn't be in there from the get-go. Like Al said, it's Super Bowl or die this year, the five best, and deal with the fallout after that. You know, you never play for injuries, and the Packers can't do that either. Touchdown!
All right.
Nice job. Oh. You're wrong, but nice job.
Well, I think that the numbers speak for themselves, 2-1.
I don't know.
All right, well, let's move on to extra point number two, that there is no place on the roster this year for Quinn Johnson if he can't play special teams.
Ah, I'm forced to take the touchdown in this one, but this actually is a John Kuhn on fourth and one touchdown. It never happens. You know, fine. We got a lot of good fullbacks. We drafted Quinn Johnson. I mean, if he's performing that poorly and the coaches really think that Kuhn and Hall have more potential, then I'm fine with it. But I just can't see that happening. You got two of the same guys in Kuhn and Hall, and you got Quinn Johnson. I just think you got to keep him. But if you can't play special teams and someone else can step up and do the job, well, you send him to the road. But let's be frank, that's just not going to happen. So, Kuhn touchdown. Yay!
I'm gonna have to disagree with you there, Alex. I think Quinn Johnson, I'm not gonna say he's a sure to roster spot, but I've been in Quinn Johnson's corner since he was drafted because he brings a unique talent that the Packers don't have. Now, this Crabtree guy, he's intriguing me because I've often talked about the lack of having a ferocious blocker among our tight ends. That's talent that if you don't have that on the team, you may need that someday. And I think that's what Quinn Johnson brings here. If he's going to be a guy who can flatten a linebacker, that's something we don't see from Hall and Kuhn, who are great out of the backfield. Yeah, they're great pass catchers, but this team is loaded with pass catchers. Quinn Johnson, if you remember him at the end of last year, and I wish I had a nice statistical breakdown, at the end of the year when he was finally active for some games, whenever you saw Ryan Grant score a nice touchdown or break a big run, it was always Quinn Johnson who was smacking someone on the way. Now, we don't have a problem with receivers, but he has the potential to change the running game. I'm not worried about the passing game. That's going to be okay.
All right.
All right. Well, I get the deciding vote here on this one, huh? Well,
lucky
it pains me. It pains me, but I have to take the touchdown here. I had such high hopes for the human steamroller known as the Pancake Man or the Mighty Quinn, but unfortunately, he just hasn't made any progress. Ask Quinn to do anything other than lead block into the interior line, and he just looks lost. He's still not comfortable catching the ball. His special teams play has been a big disappointment. I envisioned him as a human wrecking ball on specials, but he just looks confused and tentative. Now, I'm in his corner all the way, but if he doesn't step up soon, I'm going to be stuck writing about Corey Hall and John Kuhn, two guys without any colorful nicknames to play around with.
That would be unfortunate.
Woo-hoo!
Mm-hmm. Oh, all right.
I'm 0 for 2 today.
I know. You're 0 for 2.
I know.
Well, maybe you can regain some ground with this last one, huh?
All right.
Some revenge.
Extra point number 3. Matt Flynn. His shaky performance should be making Packer fans nervous.
All right. I guess I'll take the touchdown on this one here. While this is a touchdown for me, it's one that's under review for a good 5 minutes before they finally make up their mind. In other words, it's rather dicey. I'm not here to kill Matt Flynn, but I'm nervous because I haven't seen enough of him to really know. Do I have confidence he could step in for a few games and keep the ship afloat? Hell no. I just haven't seen enough. As Aaron Nagler wrote in an article today, it would sure be nice to see Flynn get some time in preseason with the first team offense. Then we'd all have a better idea of what Flynn is capable of.
Man, I'm jumping in right now with the interception, and I'm taking the Jared Bush interception, 80-yard, celebrate at the 5, and then get it knocked out and run back by the other team for a touchdown interception. Matt Flynn sucks, and everybody knows it. We've been talking about this for 3 years that we need to bring in a veteran. Matt Flynn is no good. Do you see this guy? Did you see? He's making Sam Shields look like a superstar. I was watching the Cowboys game the other night, and, I mean, this isn't a big deal, but when Tony Romo went out and Trent Dilfer came in, they did not lose a beat. Yeah, the guy was old. He couldn't run round of months. Maybe it wasn't exciting, but he knew where the guy was, where to throw to him, and how to hit him. And that's something we haven't had behind Aaron Rodgers since we got Matt Flynn. It's time to give up. Bring in a guy that knows some of the offense and let him compete, because I have no confidence in Matt Flynn, and that's why it gets the Jared Bush interception. CD.
I don't even know if I can follow that.
Was that really an interception?
I think so. I'm not going to argue with him, are you?
No, but Alex, I think that you were agreeing.
Yeah.
I was supposed to agree, but I'm not agreeing. I'm doing a first time on the show ever double touchdown. Extra
breaking the rules.
Well, yeah, that's why he reversed course by having it run back by the other team.
The Jared Bush interception, fumbled on the goal line, and run back by the opposing offense.
All right. Well, CD, can you make any sense out of this?
You know, I have had a special place in my heart for gamers, because I myself was not a very good practice player, but you know, you get under the lights, and this is what everyone says about Matt Flynn, that you know, he's not going to do well in the practices, but boy, when you need him at game time, he's going to show up. I don't know if I want to roll the dice waiting for that. Now, I have a lot of faith in Mike McCarthy. He is known as a quarterback guru. I really like him. I really think McCarthy has the ability to bring out the best in Matt Flynn. I'm hoping it's good enough, because a gamer is usually good running on adrenaline for a game or two. But if Rodgers, as Alex said, you can't play for injuries, but if Rodgers is hurt for an extended period of time, I think all of us know that Super Bowl or die may be going with the latter. So I'm hoping that Flynn can get it together. I guess I'm shaky on it, though. So I'll have to say a touchdown also.
I have to jump in and make a correction here, because Trent Dilfer didn't come in for the Cowboys. It was the other old guy from the Lions. Whatever the old guy was from the Lions, whoever
John
it was.
John Kitna?
Kitna.
Joey Harrington?
Care. I'd take John Kitna right now. I'm saying that on gladly.
That's awful.
I would write an article about it.
We'll be looking for that tomorrow.
All right. Getting into the pack. That's all I'm saying.
All right. Well, that was your extra points for the week. Once again, I got shellacked on the way there. My opinion's not standing up against the majority, but that's okay. We're all Packer fans here. We are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we are going to be talking with Wally Pingle of PocketDoppler.com.
Hello, this is Brian Caribou of Maple Street Press, Packers Annual, and CheeseheadTV.com, and you're listening to Cheesehead Radio. Go Pack, go.
All right, Packer fans, I think we have with us in the hizzle tonight the very famous Wally Pingle of PocketDoppler.com. Wally, are you with us here on Cheesehead Radio?
Well, I don't know how famous I would call myself, but yes, I'm here.
Wally! Hey,
Wally Pingle! How you doing tonight?
Good. Good, good, good. Glad to be with you. I was going to yell at Alex for not knowing who John Kitna was, but Holly took care of it for me.
There you go.
Good job, Holly.
It was on the tip of my tongue. I watched. It was on the tip of my tongue. I knew it wasn't.
Holly's our fact checker.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm happy to serve.
Good job.
We forgot.
What I'm here for.
Usually we're on a delay, but before go that tonight.
Excellent. Well, Wally, we want to welcome you here to our show tonight. You've had a tremendous site over there at Pocket Doppler. How did you get started with that site over there? And what types of things do you do there? Because it looks like it's not just Packers. It's a lot of different stuff.
Yeah. I guess for those people that don't know, I mean, the Pocket Doppler name comes from a long-running bit that Brewer announcer Bob Uecker does about calling his cell phone, his BlackBerry, his whatever, we're never quite sure, because he never actually tells you what it is, his Pocket Doppler. If you're not a Brewers fan or not in Wisconsin and able to listen to the broadcast, you may not know that. In fact, when I was talking to Greg Bedard at the Titletown deal, his first words were to me, "Oh, I thought your site was about weather." So there is a sports connection there with Bob Uecker, who we refer to as our patron saint. So really, I mean, I was sitting on my garage putzing around about 3 years ago, listening to a Brewer game, and they must have been losing, because if you listen to Bob Uecker, you know that when the Brewers are losing, he's probably the most entertaining because he's trying to keep you engaged. And so he started going off about his pocket Doppler. So, I mean, with really absolutely no intent in mind, I went downstairs, looked and saw if it was available, and sure enough, so I registered pocketdoppler.com. About probably a year and a half went by and really just sat on the domain and started thinking, you know, we could do a sports blog, you know, but keep it general Wisconsin, you know, and not focus just on Packers or Brewers or Bucks. So went and talked to a couple people I knew and said, you know, see if they were interested in, you know, contributing with it. And that's how Pocket Doppler, the Wisconsin sports blog, was born.
Did not know. I didn't know that about the Bob Uecker thing, actually. I knew it wasn't
about
weather.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I was like, oh, that's news to me, and I listen to Uecker a lot. Good story.
Yeah.
And it's a true story.
Cool.
Those are the best.
Yes.
How many posts would you say you put up in a day, Wally?
Well, we do the daily Daybreak Doppler, which, you know, when we first started Pocket Doppler, you know, we were all hot and heavy, just like a new toy, you know, posts flying out the window left and right. And then we fell into the trap that a lot of bloggers do, in that you just kind of lose steam, you know, and what was 3-4 posts a week becomes 2-3, and then it's 1-2, and then, you know, you're lucky if you're getting a post out every other week. So then in February, when Dan Walsh, who ran the sports publisher site that was part of JS Online, and then he did his daily post, the daily drink, when that all folded, through no fault of his own, mind you, I really thought that there's going to be, you know, something missing there, because, I mean, I know I went to his site, you know, and got the daily drink. It was much of, you know, Wisconsin sports links and then some other funny stuff and whatnot. I contacted Dan and said, you know, hey, if I was stupid enough to, you know, commit to doing this, would you give it a little pub? Well, then in his final daily drink, he's like, oh, Wally over at Pocket Doppler is going to start doing this. I'm like, oh, great. Now I'm kind of committed to it. So then in March, we started the Daybreak Doppler, which is basically really the same thing that Dan was doing. We always refer to Dan as the godfather of the Daybreak Doppler. So we've got that daily post. It's probably a couple months ago. Then we started a weekly column, the Thursday Q&A. We have a Sunday or sometimes Saturday post that Big Snake Man does, which is kind of a recap of the week. And then we recently just got a couple new writers. Rich Ward is one of them, and he posts pretty frequently. So, I mean, we definitely have the one a day. And then, you know, if we might have two a day on Thursdays, we always have two a day. So it's anywhere from, you know, 1-3 or posts a day probably.
Yeah. And it's always good stuff. I love the Thursday Q&A. That's really cool stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, we were just I was trying to think of something else for a weekly deal that we could do. And I just, you know, the hardest thing about writing is, you guys all know, you know, is coming up with an idea consistently. I thought, well, geez, if I can, you know, come up with something where I only have to do half the work, that would be the best way to do it. And so, you know, our inaugural one was with Corey Behnke, and I purposely chose him because, you know, Aaron is obviously the face of Cheesehead TV, and I thought, you know, as a tech guy myself, it might be kind of fun to get Corey in there and give us the behind-the-scenes thing. And it's really taken off. I've actually been really surprised at the response we've got from the Thursday Q&A. I have yet to have somebody to tell me to, you know, blow it out my ear when I ask them to do it, so that's good.
That's awesome.
I have a very important question, actually. What is up with the hot chicken action every morning?
You can blame Dan Walsh for that.
I can't.
Okay. You can blame Dan for that because that's something that he started doing with the Daily Drink. and I felt obligated to carry it on.
Uh-huh.
And so,
you had to do that.
And, you know, and truthfully, you know, finding those photos, and I try to keep PG-13 and all, that probably is the most time-consuming thing of doing the Daybreak Doppler, is going through. And when I first started, I mean, I was all over the place. I didn't know what I was doing, and that's why I started coming up with the themes, at least, so I had some kind of organization of what I was doing. And, I mean, that probably takes the longest, and I probably start that on, like, Friday afternoons coming up with a theme, and then I spend my Sunday mornings finding all the photos and try to queue them up for the week.
A tough life you have, Wally, digging through piles of good-looking girls for posts.
Well, you know, it's a good thing that I'm self-employed, because otherwise if somebody was monitoring my internet usage, I'd probably be in trouble.
I hear you. Same here,
yeah,
buddy.
I can't read your blog at work. It's unfortunate. If the boss comes by and sees, you know, the big G, that's fine, because he's a Steelers fan. He understands. But if they come and see me, you know, staring at a picture of Christian Cavallari in a bikini, that might bring up an interesting conversation that I don't really want to have.
You know, I've said, and we are always looking for new contributors. And, you know, I've approached a couple women, and I've said, you know, hey, you know, you're welcome. You know, we'd love to get a woman's perspective on sports, you know, and the Packers and the Brewers and the Bucks and whatnot. And you'd be more than welcome to post shirtless pictures of whoever you want. So any women out there that want to contribute to PocketDoppler.com and post shirtless pictures like Joe Mauer or something, you're welcome. So you're an equal opportunity blog.
Right. There's an offer out there.
Might be very tempting.
Be careful before you click on Pocket Doppler from now on. You heard it here first. You're going to wake up one morning and that coffee is just going to go everywhere.
Well, you know, the Daybreak Doppler will always be mine, but maybe we could have an afternoon post or something for the ladies.
Oh, good. We have to keep that safe. Okay.
Yes. Some things are sacred. So.
All right.
Fair enough. The question is answered, though. I'm glad to know the story behind the bodacious babes on Pocket Doppler.
Yes.
Back to our regularly scheduled program.
Here we go. Well, listen, we have about 25 minutes of time here. Wally, we're hoping you stay on with us and contribute.
Sure.
But we want to invite the callers, those of you out there listening, to call in. The phone number is 917-932-8401. And I think a great topic for us to start talking about right now is this Cleveland game coming up. Guys, what are you going to be watching for? I mean, what's going to be the position group or the player that you really want to focus in on this week?
God, you want my honest answer? I'm going to be watching Holmgren the whole time. That's really the only thing that I'm really excited about, is seeing Holmgren come back and the reaction. Otherwise, preseason game one, I'll be interested in the first drive offense, first drive defense, and after that we all know it's just going to go downhill after that. But I'm excited to see Holmgren. Unconventional answer, I know. But go ahead.
You're not going to see much of him. I mean, he had surgery on his foot. He's been in a cast. He broke his own rule. He broke his own long-term training camp rule. He's been sitting down. I mean, the guy won't be prowling the sidelines per his own promise.
You know Holmgren. He's going to get like a 3.5 horsepower chair or something. He'll be around.
Probably. I know I'm looking forward to, you know, just seeing how Morgan Burnett handles that starting position, you know, under the light. There's more people there than were at, you know, the scrimmage. It's a little bit higher stakes. You know, it's a different color jersey. He's allowed to tackle. I'm excited to see what he can do with that opportunity.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll be looking at defensive line myself. I'm really curious to see if the position changes and Raji being in as a starter, if we can really get that push into the backfield on passing plays and and hopefully occupy some blockers so we can get a real pass rush. So that's probably what I'll be looking for first.
Wally, how about you?
Yeah, I'm kind of with Holly on the Morgan Burnett deal. I mean, I was almost excited when Atari wasn't signing his tender, and then, you know, once he got hurt, I thought, well, great, we're just going to be able to see this kid play from the get-go, because I think he's what we need back there, especially to complement Collins. And then, you know, that exciting punting battle.
I'll be watching the punters, too. You bring up a good point about moving the line now, because one thing I am going to watch, because I haven't been able to confirm, and no one's really been talking about, is my favorite position, the center. You know, Scott Wells, is he holding up in there? And why, you know, we've heard a lot about Spitz and ED last year, and we just haven't heard much this year. And I'm really going to be watching to see if Wells is doing that good a job, or it still looks like he's having problems. Because from what I saw at Family Light, he looks okay.
Yeah, funny you mention that, Alex, because I did kind of focus in on Raji when I rewatched the Family Night scrimmage. And while Raji did get penetration, he never quite got through Scott Wells. You know, he was able to push him back and get near the quarterback, but never quite. You know, Wells just did enough just to keep him off the quarterback. So I think Wells did fairly well that night too, and we'll see how he does against some, you know, opposing players here on Saturday.
Agreed. It was good to see him go up against Raji, because that's always been the knock on Wells, though, that he doesn't have that power on the point. And
right, against a big guy like Raji.
Yeah, and if he's the strongest guy on the team, isn't he? From what I recall?
He's the biggest guy on the team.
Is anyone out there in the chat? I don't have it open, but is BJ
you
Raji
know, there's a problem with the, there's a problem
Mike
with
Neal?
The chat tonight.
Oh, no.
Yeah, for some reason, it's not functioning there. There's a comment section where people can leave comments, but it's just not the same as having the chat. So we're kind of hamstrung there tonight.
We're not hamstrung because we have a phone number, 917-932-8401, by the way, 917-932-8401. This is the free-for-all call-in hour, and right now it's just free-for-all.
Come on, guys, let's get some
chat. Yeah. There we go.
Here we go.
Works every time.
Good job. They don't call when I say anything. That's awesome. Hey, you're on Cheesehead Radio. Who do we have with us tonight?
Hey, guys. It's Mike Davidson from Green Bay Packer Nation.
Mike Davidson,
hi,
how you doing?
Hey, Mike.
Hey, welcome.
Thanks. Just had a question about the veteran quarterback scenario. We've talked about it a lot recently. I wrote a post about it about 2 weeks ago. You guys were just talking about Matt Flynn. So here's the scenario. If Rodgers goes down in, say, early November, right when we're in the middle of that tough stretch, what do you think about grabbing Jeff Garcia from the UFL? I don't know if you just saw he went to the UFL, the Omaha Blackhawks or whatever. So what do you think about that?
I'm all for it, and I saw that too. I'm all for Jeff Garcia, old guys. I'm all for old guys right now. I'm all for
it. But you're
it.
Not Ted Thompson or Mike McCarthy.
I know, and that's why I gave up talking about the old guys, because they're not going to get one. Sometime they're going to regret it.
Me too, Alex. I actually wrote about it a year ago, last offseason, and at that time I think it was Gus Farad, and I don't remember who else was available.
No.
And I just wanted one of those guys. And, you know, same as Alex, just get an experienced guy in there. So if something happens to Rodgers and he has to miss a couple of games, the season isn't completely lost, you know. I mean, the Jets just did it with Mark Brunell. They brought in Brunell. Perfect number two guy to have there just in case.
Right, yeah. I mean, I'm impressed with Flynn's development overall. And, I mean, he's been looking a little shaky and recently in camp, but I know he's overall developed quite well, but you got to figure the experience Garcia would bring during that time would definitely be an asset to the offense.
Yep. I agree. I would go for that too.
I agree. Well, Mike.
He's also played
Sorry?
I mean, he played with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. I mean, that's a really pass-heavy offense. Right. You know, I'm sure they'd have to strip down the playbook for him, but, you know, hey, if we know the guy can throw the ball, if he can throw the medium passes, then, you know, then the Packers receivers can do a lot with that.
And you hope you never have to see him play, but knowing that he's there is
that insurance policy.
Well, and there's a lot of veteran guys who've proven – Kurt Warner is a great example of a guy that people have tried to replace with younger guys over and over again, and yet he still has that poise. He still has that command. No one's looking at Kurt Warner and saying, here's the guy I want to start a franchise with. But, boy, when the chips are down, you're sure glad you have someone like that.
Yeah.
He could have someone like that.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Mike.
Thanks,
appreciate it, Michael.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Good topic. Thanks for calling.
Wally, will you take an official stance on the backup quarterback? Or?
Well, you know, I was just trying to – I can't remember the guy's name. He's broadcasting the preseason game for the Packers.
Gannon?
Rich Gannon?
No.
Rich Gannon, he's in town.
Yeah.
Gannon, he's in town. He's a veteran quarterback. There you go.
White,
you know, he could be right now, you know, messing with Flynn's equipment, you know, purposely trying to get him out. So I think he's probably lining that thing up right now.
He was wearing a Packers shirt today, as a matter of fact. There you go. Come back.
Wouldn't have far to go.
No, he wouldn't. I'm all for it. Let's talk about something else before I go. Hey, well, I got something to talk about. How come our halfbacks are not catching the ball out of the backfield? Seriously, when I was comparing the 96 and the 210 Super Bowl team, it is just the one place we're lacking. The guys are not catching the ball out of the backfield. I'm watching the practice tweets today even. Grant drops one out of the backfield. Pass dropped out of the backfield. If we cannot convert the pass out of the backfield, it's really going to limit our offense because it's going to be the one thing we have left a lot of the time. And I'm getting sick of seeing it. Who's going to step up, or is this just the early season jitters?
Yeah, I'm going to call this the early season jitters. I think they'll be fine.
None of them are named William Henderson.
The one new hope we had, you know, was James Starks, and he can't see the field. So, the guys who are there, we know already, we know what they can't do in this case. So it was really up to Starks and Porter to show something there. But Starks was the guy that, you know, used to be a wide receiver, et cetera. He came advertised as a good receiver out of the backfield, but we haven't seen it.
I agree. So are they to keep Quinn Porter then? I mean, it sounds like he has a legitimate shot. You're going to keep four halfbacks. You're probably going to end up stashing Starks on the practice squad. I don't know. I mean, does Porter have a legitimate shot here? Because Brandon Jackson and Ryan Grant are going to make the team. But, is there enough of a flash? Is Lumpkin gone?
Lumpkin is still eligible for the practice squad, so he could be kept around again if they wanted to. I think Porter has a real good chance. You know, I liked him coming into camp, and he's made an impression on people. So he's heads and shoulders above the guy last year, which was Tyrell Sutton, that everybody got so upset about that the Packers let go. Porter is a whole different player than Tyrell Sutton.
That was my next comparison. Is he that much better than Tyrell Sutton? Because I won't see him till preseason. Yeah, that's what I've been heard. You know, I haven't seen him up close, and I only saw him catch a punt, I think, in the family game, and the running game was altogether disappeared on family night. But, well, that's fine. We'll wait and see. I'm all for it.
He will get his chance, I guarantee you.
I think it was the Packer Update had a nice piece to say on both Lumpkin and Porter. I think it was the Packer. You'll see it in tomorrow's Daybreak Doppler. But on both those guys, and what you were saying, Al, about, you know, Starks supposedly being the one, you know, that was going to come out of that group, but both, you know, Quinn and Porter are kind of surpassing him.
Right now, yeah.
Yeah, I got a question. Maybe kind of segue what we're talking about to something else. My fear is if Aaron Rodgers does not have confidence in those screen passes and those backs catching the ball out of the backfield, which really is kind of a safety valve for the quarterback. It's usually your third look. My fear is that Rodgers is going to feel like, well, maybe he's better off running the ball. And I don't know, I guess that brings up another good conversation. Hey, do we want to see Rodgers running as much as he has been, or do we want to see him maintaining himself more in the pocket and making things happen with his arm instead of his legs this year?
Hey, if they cover everybody man on man and they don't cover the quarterback, I am all for him running as far as he can.
I agree that he at least has to run some of the time, because as soon as people quit expecting him to run or don't judge that as a threat, you know it's all over. So he has to keep the balance. I think you'll see him run. I think you'll see some plays maybe even designed to have him run. Who knows?
But I think you bring up a good point, that if he doesn't, you know, if he feels that he has to, you know, make the play, if he feels that it's on him, that he doesn't have that safety valve, that's concerning. I don't want him, you know, getting uncomfortable and, you know, trying to find something that isn't there.
Or forcing the ball, you know.
Exactly.
All of a sudden you're forcing the ball, trying to get it into Finley every time because, you know, that third look isn't there or you don't rely on it. I hear you, CD. I think they just have to hang on to the ball. Hopefully they do. Hopefully
it's all
that
about
guy's
gloves. Aren't their gloves, like, super sticky, too?
Oh, yeah, I got a good story about those super sticky gloves, too, because I went.
Are you able to tell it here?
Yeah, I am, actually. It's not it's not Croc-esque at all. I was at the shareholders meeting. I stopped by Fox 11 to talk to Paige Pearson, and on her desk she just happened to have a pair of these sticky gloves, which are actually made by a company in Green Bay and supplied to the whole NFL, but they have the stuff on it. I guess the rule is they can be as sticky as you want as long as it doesn't leave any residue on the jersey or the ball. So it has like this really thick plastic bag, wetsuit kind of shiny material over it, and you stick your hands together and it's, you know, like tacky super glue sweat kind of feeling. They're really cool to see. So, yes, they do have those gloves, and that's even more reason that they shouldn't be dropping them, because I saw them. They're pretty cool, actually. I've been meaning to ask Paige to get the information and do a post about it. But they're made in Green Bay, which I thought was interesting. So, yeah.
The company is Sarnac, I want to say.
Sarnac.
Sarnac?
Yeah, they're right over by the one who will not be named, Steakhouse.
Oh, I was right there, too. I should have grabbed a pair. I want a pair of those. They're really cool, actually. Sorry, we're supposed to be talking.
What would you use them for?
Gardening? I don't know. I have no use for a pair of ultra-sticky super gadget gloves, but if I ever did, I'd like to have a pair on hand just in case. They're that cool.
You know, maybe that's a question for anybody that's listening. You should call in and tell us what you can do.
What would you do with the pair?
Pass-catching gloves.
Exactly. If Paige Pearson from Fox 11 gave you a super sticky pair of gloves right now, what would you use them for? That's a great question. Jersey Al's going to get mad because we're not talking Packers, so what else?
No, it's okay.
917-932-8401. We still have about 10 minutes of time left. We'd love to hear from you and what you're going to be looking for in the Browns game on Saturday.
Oh,
hey Holly, how about a little opposition?
I was just gonna say
exactly what I was gonna say. Mediocre.
That's
money.
What I was gonna say too.
All right. Well, as is my custom during the regular season, I've taken a look at the team that the Packers are gonna play, and there's not much out there about the Browns this week. But what I did find is kind of interesting. You know. Holmgren has taken over, you know, the organization kind of like Bill Parcells did in Miami, which is funny considering, you know, the last Clevelander to go down to Miami. You know, they don't look very fondly on South Beach up there in northern Ohio, but I think they're looking for the same kind of turnaround. But unlike the Dolphins, who then went 11-5, I think the Browns are a little more realistic. Mangini is hoping just to be able to stick with the Packers for a quarter. And I think that's probably, you know, about right, maybe.
Is there any position group, Holly, that you think is going to actually what position group do you think they could actually give the Packers a good test?
Special teams. It's Josh Cribbs.
That's true. Good point.
I mean, it's Josh Cribbs on punt and kick return. You know, he can get out, you know, in front of blockers. He's extremely shifty. They paid him in the offseason, so he should be, you know, relatively compliant, you know, for whatever his coaches want him to do. You know, he'll be a big test for the coverage units. You know, the player that I'm most interested in and that it seems like the Browns are is a young cornerback, Joe Hayden. He was their top pick in the draft this year. And they think that he may end up having to start with injuries being how they are. And if he lines up against Greg Jennings, I think that'll be one of those welcome to the NFL type moments. But he should be interesting to watch, so keep an eye out for him. I think he's 23. But,
You'll see a lot of directional punting then, for sure, I bet, with Cribbs out there. They're going to do their best and nail that down for a time so it may present itself.
And
a lot
see
out
our
of
gunners get a workout.
You bet. I wanted Josh Cribbs, too. I want a lot of guys.
like John Kitna?
Yeah, John Kitna. I'd take him.
Well, here's a question. John Rehor on Twitter is asking, if Cribbs runs all over the Packers, well, then what? Can we fire Slocum? Please.
We probably
could. I'm all over that.
I mean, but it doesn't matter. If it's Slocum, if it's Stock, I guess it's the same regime, so to say, hand me down. But if you're going to do it now. So let's not prolong it anymore. All we had to listen to was Mike's doc, and now all we got to listen to is how much Sean Slocum sucks. If he sucks, get rid of him. Otherwise, I'm just sick of special teams. Where's Caribou when you need him to brighten your special teams day?
Well, I saw a picture on Twitter today that Anthony Taribio and Mike Neal were the wedge on a return unit, and that's a pretty big wedge.
That's a huge wedge. That's I'm gonna
more
take
than a
down.
Wedge.
I'm gonna take down a maple tree in my backyard. Wedge. Wow.
Speaking of maple trees down in your backyard, Alex, how's the tornado?
It looks like it's gone. It kind of was uneventful. I don't know. I'm kind of not in a good spot for storm watching, but I would assume my wife would have come up and said something. And I also had something important to say that actually was Packers related. Now I can't remember what it is.
Of course.
Do you believe that? Oh, man.
I was concerned for your safety, Alex.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. Cleveland Browns. I'm excited for the game. I'm happy to see Bagger football. The family night scrimmage was just a little taste, but the whole thing was so god-awful. I'm just waiting for Saturday night's game and move on. Four more games, and we're there.
Do you guys think A.J. Hawk has done a lot to solidify his spot? Because he had a pretty good game in family night. And we've talked about this before, Dez Bishop and Brandon Chiller, you know, maybe challenging him. Do you think he's done a lot of this, or is this game still another test for him?
I think A.J. Hawk is A.J. Hawk, you know. It's what you saw was the same thing you see out of him all the time, and then he'll disappear for three or four games. You know, he's had games last year, the season before, where he looked like an all-pro linebacker, just, you know, played out of his mind, and then the next game, okay, back to invisible. So I just don't know what to make of him.
I mean, no matter how well he plays this season, is he, you know, I don't see the team having enough confidence in him to pay him the $10 million or whatever it is his base salary is next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a lot of money for a above-average inside linebacker.
I like AJ. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's going to be solid. You know, Wayne Simmons wasn't flashy either, but they kept him around.
But it's fine and solid, worth that amount of money.
Right, not at that money, though. Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
Nowadays,
I'm
is that what...
Solid. I'm fine and solid, and nobody's flipping me that kind of money.
But I agree, but nowadays, it's fine. Is that kind of money what you pay for fine and solid? Have we gotten to that point? You know, you got guys like Daryl Revis out there asking to $40 million apart with the Jets. You know, maybe solid pays big nowadays, and it's just gotten that bad, and maybe that's why everyone's complaining. I don't know, but I did remember what I wanted to say quick because I know there's only a couple seconds out. For all you gamers out there, they did the John Madden 2011 simulation today, which is where they put in the game for the first time. They let the computer decide who the best team is, and the Packers were the best team in the game. Aaron Rodgers was the MVP. More yards and touchdowns than anybody else. And the Madden simulation predicted the World Cup, the NCAA tournament, and I believe the NBA Finals. So if that's any indication, throw that on the Super Bowl talk.
Has it ever been right on the Super Bowl?
I don't know, Alan. I'm not going to look.
That's the question. Come on, Alex. You're withholding information.
I don't know, and I'm not going to look, but it's a good sign. It's a good sign for me.
Just adding that to the pile, if I'm correct, whatifsports.com also predicted the Packers to win the Super Bowl this year.
There you go.
Website.
Oh, joy.
It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
Oh, boy. I'm so happy about that.
We better end the show before Jersey Al implodes.
Well, we got a couple minutes left. Does anyone have any final shots here before we conclude for the week and prepare for Cleveland? Final shot.
I have a parting shot for Wally. Wally, I met you at the tweet up. We've had an illustrious career bashing each other on Twitter. You shake my hand, say hi, and then you disappear, and I don't talk to you for the rest of the night. That's my last
shot. That was a plan.
Shot. Yeah,
that
I figured as much. He's a nice guy.
Can you blame him?
Nice freaking guy. That's all I'm saying. That's my last shot.
Yeah, good stuff.
Yeah.
Well, how about you? You want to take a shot at Alex? Because we're all chomping at the bit.
No. I'm, okay. You know, it's...
We're good.
I'm a grown-up.
Oh!
Yeah, there was my shot.
There you go.
Wally, favorite Packer moment?
Seattle game in the snow globe, the playoff game.
You and me both. Excellent.
Good. Number of wins, Wally. Number of wins.
12-4.
Nice.
Very popular choice. I would say swag.
One.
Oh, go ahead.
Wally, what's the most unusual Packers-related item that you own?
I have, I don't know how unusual it is, but I was going to say boxers, but everyone's got Packer boxers, right? I used to work for one of the ticket broker companies here in town, and we'd have these receptions and deal. And so one of the things I have is a Lambeau print signed by the 8 players that we had the receptions for the night before. So it's a nice poster with, like I said, 8 players on there. Amon Green, Driver, William Henderson, Doug Peterson, Darren Sharper, Tony Fisher, Amon Green, Craig Nall, and Grady Jackson. That's framed
nice.
In my man cave down here.
Nice.
Awesome.
Another man cave owner.
Got to have the man cave.
Absolutely.
Got to have the man cave.
Especially when you got a 4 and 6 year old ruling the roost upstairs.
Yeah.
Wally, I got to say, we're going to give you an 88 swag this week.
Yeah, swag rating. I was
rocking.
I agree.
Nice.
Swag rating's
very
going
solid.
Up. Yeah.
Mike Davidson, we got to give him a swag too. What would you guys say?
he had a good point. He had a good point, but then he hung up just a little bit early all of a sudden.
Yeah.
He's like, man, I got to get out of here. These guys are scared.
I might have done that accidentally. So
oh, did
I'll
you
give,
cut
I'll
him
give
off?
Him, yeah.
All right.
I'll give him an 88, too, for that.
All right, fair enough.
It's an 86, so we'll give him the bonus one in case I hung up early.
Yeah.
So.
Fair enough. Did you get an 86, Mike, with the 88 asterisk in case CD hung up on you? Thanks for calling.
All right, same time, same channel next week. We'll have another guest blogger in. Check out all our blogs at Cheesehead TV. And thanks a lot for calling in. Thanks to Mike Davison, GreenBayPackerNation.com, and Wally Pingle for being here. Cheesehead Radio.
Thank you,
later,
Wally.
Guys.
Thank you, guys.
Good night.
All right.